Let's talk digital.
We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
A local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and getting excerpts about the exceptional.
Hosted by Audrey Naidu.
Sit back, relax, enjoy your whatever. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. How's it, everyone? Welcome back to today's podcast with myself, Audrey Naidu. Today, I'm talking to one of the most innovative and award-winning heads in digital for the financial industry, Yayish Keda, co-founder of Get Law, an online startup legal services platform. Welcome to the podcast, Yayish.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, I know this year has been a challenging year for you as we started on lockdown of COVID from a Get Law perspective. But before we even get into the topic today, because I'm quite excited, I was very inspired to listen to your story. Can you please tell our listeners a bit about yourself?
Sure. I am the co-founder of Get Law. It's, as you mentioned, in online e-commerce and legal services platform. Been in digital for the last 15, almost 16 years now. In my full-time position, I'm head of digital for Sanlam Investments.
Okay, yeah, so that's interesting. Hey, you've got lots of things going on for you. We were talking about, you know, I'm more interested in Get Law, but we're going to touch on Sanlam and your role in the industry as we proceed with this conversation. Let's go back to the beginning. What was the impact of COVID on the Get Law business?
It's an interesting one, though. Once lockdown started, Get Law wasn't in existence at all. What we had was lawyers and attorneys who sat at home, unable to service clients. They were unable to grow their business. They were unable to conduct any sort of legal cases or interviews. At the flip side, we also had people who were negatively affected by COVID, people whose jobs were on the line, people who owed money, and they had absolutely no way to go. They had limited legal recourse. And with the advent of social distancing, they couldn't actually go out and seek legal advice. At the same time, the attorneys couldn't go out and obviously go and deal with their particular clients. And of course, with retrenchments and so on happening at the same time, we found that funds were limited. So actually having access to legal advice that was cost effective within South Africa is quite a difficult challenge currently as it stands. So what we decided to do, again, just myself and my brother, who is an attorney, we decided to actually bridge the gap between these two different parties and build a platform that could actually circumvent the entire social distancing rules and make legal services available cost effectively to those that needed it, whilst at the same time actually empowering the attorneys who were sat at home unable to do much at all. So we always say that COVID-19 and lockdown actually enabled our business rather than disabled it. And I guess if it hadn't been for lockdown and for COVID, we wouldn't have had the need to actually build the platform, build the business. So we started, I think it was in month two of lockdown, so still very much level five, level four. We launched again completely virtually, and it's been growing ever since.
Yeah, I think that is a phenomenal story. That is the business challenge that you had. What social problems were you also solving for?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, the access or limited access to funding that people were having at the time. Traditional legal and law services is quite expensive. I mean, if you visit your traditional law firm, you're paid and billed for a full hour usually, and your costs could range anywhere between 1,000 and 1,500 rand. And generally, all you need is about a few questions answered. And again, it's quite prohibitive for most people. At the same time, law and attorneys and so on can be quite intimidating prospect for most people. So at the same time, we're trying to make law accessible to those that actually needed it most. So when we launch on the premise of actually not charging anybody for legal advice, particularly if you were affected by COVID-19 and lockdown. So where we launch with the premise of actually making legal services and access to our range of attorneys you know, completely free for those that were stuck in lockdown, those that were negatively affected by the impacts of COVID-19. So, you know, for us, it was, you know, trying to take the goodwill and the skills and resources that we had across our panel of attorneys and actually put it to good use. And, I mean, the requirement and the demand was, you know, quite large. And again, at the same time, you know, we were able to do so in a way that was, you know, easily accessible for most people who were stuck at home, unable to travel, unable to go anywhere and actually ask their legal questions. We had a panel of attorneys set across the country, completely virtually engaging with these clients on a day-to-day basis and completely in real time.
Can you then take our listeners through the application of the service? On what platform? How did it work?
Of course. So, being a digital specialist, I've engaged in quite a number of platforms over the last few years, and with limited access to capital. Again, just from the time of the conceptualization of the entire business idea to go live, it was literally 6 to 7 days. So a week before we actually, you know, thought up the concept and built the entire platform. And with limited budget as well, we were unable to, you know, contract a developer, you know, with large cost expenditures and so on. We had to build the entire thing from scratch. So I, again, with my sort of coding background, I used, I guess, a range of different tools that were available. Different e-commerce platforms, you know, there a few that we sort of combined, a few widgets, a few stock standard online platforms as well. So there's the WooCommerce side of things that we plugged in. There's the Shopify side of things. Again, for us to build the entire platform, it didn't take long at all. And we made use of free resources initially, just simply because, as I mentioned, costs were quite high at the time. And we just wanted to get live. So there's a little bit of WordPress plugged in there as well. So we sort of it's like a smorgasbord of technical platforms that we just try to combine to make the best use of what we had and, you know, what we actually wanted to achieve. It wasn't too complicated at all to set it up, but thankfully there are so many different resources available out there for us to actually tap into and make this the entire thing come to life.
You mentioned it took you, you know, basically a very small amount of money to set this up. What was your startup cost for this?
So the entire startup expenditure that we had was 2,500 rand, and that again included the business registration and included the purchasing of server space, domains, all the technical side of things, as well as any initial marketing spend to actually get the business up and running. There were some initial setup costs infrastructure-wise that needed to be done. So 2,500 rand was the maximum capital load that we actually had access to. That was the total cost of setting up the entire business.
That is crazy. If you had to give it to an agency to do this for you, how much would you pay?
I can't even imagine. I mean, firstly, the consultation time alone sitting with the with the agency, geez, they'd be billed at about 1,350 per hour just for conceptualizing the idea. It'll take about 3 or 4 hours of that. Of course, portfolio management time, you get business analysts in, and you're sitting at about 50,000 to 80,000 rand just for the initial few meetings before you even start development. So you're probably looking at development costs of about 750,000 to 800,000.
No, I completely agree. Both of us come from a corporate world, so we understand these types of costs. So I think what you've just mentioned now, you know, speaks around creativity and the fact that there's multiple tools that are free that people can start using and applying their minds to. So, that's amazing, hey, that you started up with minimal cost, including registration, and you're up and going from April.
I keep on making the same claim that, I guess, in today's technically connected world and digital world, there are no excuses for anyone to not have some sort of online presence. We have free website build tools like Wix that allow you to build a complete website using their modules, using tools. Again, no one needs to be a digital expert anymore. All you need to have is a basic understanding of how to use Paint, how to use MS Word, and you could have a complete online presence, again, completely free. I mean, there are no excuses anymore.
No, yeah, I think that's great advice. Yaish, I just want to talk about the, so you've launched a service, it's a couple of months gone by. How is the business doing now?
It's doing phenomenally well. We started with an immediate network of 7 attorneys, including including my brother. Again, this is his immediate circle, meaning small independent attorneys that he had access to across his network, whether it's ex-colleagues, team members and so on. We are now sitting at 12 attorneys across the country. And again, these are small, independently owned, almost self-operated law firms that we've contracted. So not the, I guess, the large corporate firms, but more the people that are running one- or two-man shops. Those are the guys, obviously, that were most negatively affected by lockdown. And I mean, 12 attorneys later, we've serviced over 100 clients thus far since launching. And again, predominantly those that are taking up the offer for free legal advice or free legal consultation. So yeah, it's been over 100. With I guess if I had to ballpark the actual number, you're looking at about between 80 to 90% of those being free consultations. The ones that we had made available to them, kind of in batches of 15 minutes. So yeah, so over 100 of those already have been purchased.
Your 15-minute consult, this is done over WhatsApp.
Yeah, the WhatsApp consultation, that's the one that we have been offering for free. But, of course, we have the normal telephone conversation, there's or consultation. There's one that we do via Zoom as well for those that actually want to see a face. But, yeah, all three have done reasonably well. But, of course, the most popular being the WhatsApp consultation. What most people don't realize, I guess, is when it comes to a legal matter, most issues can actually be resolved, you know, well before it reaches the court stage or any sort of serious stage. And that's, I guess, what we're trying to do and what we try to accomplish. When clients come on board and they want to engage with our attorneys, they have about a maximum of 5 or 6 questions. And that's all it takes. There's absolutely no need for them to purchase a full 1-hour consultation if they don't need it. If they just need a little bit of guidance with regards to what their rights and obligations are, that's all that they need, which is why, I mean, that is our most popular product. Again, the 1-hour consult is obviously for your more serious matters, and we have had a few of those. There's a lot more that people use or purchase for their corporate issues. So we've had people setting up businesses as well, wanting shield and agreements drafted. That's obviously where a 1-hour consult becomes a bit more relevant. But I mean, for I guess legal cases that involve people owing you money, or a tenant wanting to know how does it deal with a stressful landlord, that again should be tackled by at least 15 or 30 minutes at least. So I mean, there's absolutely no need for it to get to a serious stage. But what our attorneys try and do is guide our clients on, I guess, the best course of action, the best route, and obviously empower them with regards to what their rights are and, of course, what their particular obligations are as well.
So Get Law is built by millennials like yourself. Do you see this being an advantage in driving disruption or innovation?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the millennial market is, according to Forbes, the most powerful global market currently, and it's growing each and every year. Of course, we haven't really had to learn about digital or technology. We essentially grew up with it. Most of our attorneys, actually all of our attorneys, are millennials. If I look at the technical classification of a millennial. Young, ambitious, and of course it's that age-old saying of wanting to do things, not really wanting to work hard, but trying to work smart. And I guess that's where digital actually allows us to stretch those limitations quite nicely. So most of our attorneys are online almost 24/7. There's no time cap. You know, some guys are working at night, some guys are working at 3 in the morning. We've had live chats with clients at 2 in the morning. It stretches quite broadly, and I guess being a millennial again allows us a different perspective with regards to what people are looking for, what's important to them. Being mobile again as well is a massively important factor for us. So, I mean, our platform is built completely mobile first. And again, if you look at our demographic, 96 to 97% of all of our traffic comes via someone's mobile device. which I mean is important, again, that to cater for that market and actually be relevant, that your proposition is, I guess, digitally designed to be, I guess, you know, properly operational, which is why a mobile first approach works for us. And with regards to the demographic of our clients and audience, again, age between 24 and 44 years old. So again, not the traditional old school, the traditional person that's the more traditionalist, they want to sit in front of a person and engage face to face. The audience that we cater to, again, is quite comfortable paying for something by the credit card online. There's a certain security that they have, and of course, they want to engage completely virtually. They don't really want to pick up a phone, you know, or email someone back and forth. They want to, again, just do everything via chat, which is also why we have quite a large presence on, or rather prominence presence on social media. It's quite important for us that we play in that space and that we engage with our audience exactly where they are. So we, again, the proposition is built particularly for millennials. Again, it makes it quite easy for us, given that we are, to know exactly where we would want to engage with service providers as well.
Yeah, I've never come across a legal service offering that is more engaging and, like you said, social before. I mean, you have to go to these guys and you are actually making this more open to people, more accessible.
Correct. Yeah, we're essentially trying to, I mean, there's two things I guess we're trying to do as well. Is number one, demystify law. It is quite a negative subject, the one that doesn't, most people don't really touch on unless something really bad happens. And of course, we're trying to make it accessible. I guess digital is the one avenue that we have. And of course, our network of attorneys being millennial, again, if you look at our social posts, the way they've tried to break things down and actually make things understandable for, I guess, anybody, again, is geared towards an audience, I mean, like a millennial, whose attention span is that, longer than a few seconds initially. So, it's trying to get them engaged, get them interested, but at the same time be relevant to them and not speak a completely different language. If you have something to say that can be said in 10 seconds, you know, say it in 10 seconds and not, 15 minutes. We try to gear everything that we have, whether it's our online interaction, the social posts, the engagements that we have with clients. We try to engage and do everything as we would normally do in our day-to-day environment, which obviously is a lot more, short-term, immediate, and obviously not too much, in a traditional sense of things, paperwork and sitting down face-to-face, you know, having a long engagement. And it's more around the immediacy of our service. It's, Carl Wasey from KFM called it the Uber for lawyers, which is quite a neat way of looking at what we have to offer. It's essentially coming online virtually, whether it's via chat and so on, and just getting legal advice immediately. It's not around, driving to someone's office, sitting down with them, you know, being offered tea or coffee and, you know, having this long engagement. It's obviously something which, a millennial would relate to quite well. The whole notion of, you know, firstly going somewhere and driving somewhere, but at the same time, actually sitting down and engaging with people. Sadly, we are a bunch that prefer to do everything, you know, completely virtually. The platform speaks to that need, it caters for that need quite well.
I think you are touching on something also much bigger, because consumers are actually shifting and moving towards instant gratification nowadays. I mean, that formal process has been removed this year. So there's been a huge disruption in the market, and you guys, you know, are offering a service that is now speaking to the future of where digital can add value to consumers' lives and make their lives much easier, especially in such a, I would say, a very time-consuming, overwhelming formal process like getting legal assistance. It's just that simple, you know, engagement with lawyers and getting access to them, which is awesome. So, Yaish, I just want to ask you one more final question on GetLaw. What does the future hold? Are you expanding your value proposition? How do you see yourself growing now?
It's a tough one to answer. I mean, we what we've committed to is to, I guess, look at the short term, I guess, initially. And then when I say short term, I mean as long as there is a lockdown restriction in place, whether it's level two or level one. Our business is very much focused at providing the free legal advice and consultations and so on. That's obviously in the short term. Longer term, we are obviously looking to grow the panel of attorneys that we have, so that we become the again, as Carl mentioned, the Uber for lawyers. So the second you have a legal question or legal query, we become a household brand name. That's obviously going to take time. So it would involve a lot more marketing, a lot more brand building. And I mean that will come with time. So we had one inquiry from someone in Kenya who was quite curious or interested about the entire business model, wanting to take what we have here and almost migrate it up there and try and do exactly the same thing, run the same platform and offer the same kind of service that we're offering down here, but offer it over there. So that's not an option. But at this stage, we're very much focused in the short term on trying to help those that have been negatively affected by COVID-19. We always say that we haven't really built the business off the back or on the premise of trying to make profits, even though we were essentially driven to try and build something online, with cost and so on. There's no doubt one can't exist without making a profit. But again, it wasn't the sole motivator for why we built what we built or why we've done and put the effort into what we have sort of developed so far. It's around trying to take the resources and capabilities that we have to help those that obviously are most vulnerable and that need it most. With regards to myself and my brother, we look at my parents who are small business owners and the questions that they ask and how their business was completely smashed by lockdown. It was essentially closed. They still haven't opened yet. So, I mean, they were our case in point for, the various people across the country who were in a similar position, needed help. And thankfully, we have a panel of attorneys who are willing to assist, willing to help and give of their time. Obviously, in the short term, it's pro bono. But, of course, long term, as we build our relationship with these attorneys, it will definitely become profitable for them. So short term or future plans very much around helping those with free legal advice that need it currently. And I guess longer term, building a presence or a brand awareness for Get Law that obviously would become a lot more synonymous with immediacy and technologically disrupted legal advice.
I think you've been getting a lot of attention this year, so I'm actually confident that your business is going to grow, maybe in unexpected ways that you didn't actually plan, like you said in the beginning, and the reasons why you started up this business. But when you are, so let's talk about your day job for a bit, because I was actually quite interested. You are regarded as one of the most influential digital leaders in asset management, having worked for Sanlam Investments, and I just want to talk about digital transformation in South Africa in general based on your experience, because you've also worked for big brands like Investec, Satrix, Adidas, and PGA. Tell us more about your experiences with these brands, and then what is your view of digital transformation in South Africa currently?
Of course. So my experience again is quite broad with different brands, whether it's from my agency days to corporate. What I guess I have found in every single instance is a hunger from the business side, at least, to engage in digital transformation. Whether it was during my time at Pam Golding, where I guess trying to disrupt the traditional model over there involved the creation of, at the time, it was the, I think it was South Africa's first virtual reality app, or augmented reality app, rather, where you could open up a newspaper and download the Pam Golding app, look at the picture of the house, and you'd be taken into the house, and sort of a video would play with it, actually allow you to walk around the house virtually. This was back in 2012, which, again, was probably a bit before its time. But again, the hungriness, or rather the willingness of corporate to cater for that or innovate or even try to do things differently, even back then, was quite strong. And then obviously moved on to Investec. But being a global brand, very much at the forefront of what's happening digitally with regards to all the systems, processes, quite on it. I then obviously moved to Sanlam, a much larger corporate, very much labored in sort of legacy. And I guess the traditional sense of doing things face-to-face, of course, very much built off advice, selling of retirement products, life insurance, and so on. And the entire business model initially was very much geared towards the whole face-to-face interaction with your financial advisor. So very much an intermediated business. Again, the online side of things was not big at all. It was actually pretty non-existent when I joined. Very much at the start of just trying to emerge from trying to do things differently. Within corporate, obviously, I guess the older, more established your brand is, the more difficult it is to try and innovate and do things differently. But what I must say, since I've joined, I have seen a massive surge in digital, digital hires within Sunland. But of course, digital innovation and platforms and so on. And I mean, it's been quite a pleasant journey to be on. I guess as a brand, they've really taken to trying to innovate quite significantly. And I guess, not necessarily shake off, the old stigma of financial advisors, but rather empower them. So we've created tools, that obviously would allow, the traditional business model to continue, but again, just enhancing it. And adopting a sense of digital transformation. So, taking just some systems and processes, completely digitizing it and trying to make it A, cost effective, but B, also more, innovative as well. One that's been beneficial both to the client, firstly, and of course to the financial advisor and business as well. So, I mean, it has been quite an important journey. We're nowhere near the end. Obviously with all businesses, it's quite a long-term plan. But we even recently have just appointed a new head of strategy over at Sunland, who's put together this quite comprehensive digital transformation team to look at digital transformation across the entire business. And of course, with the new CEO, who literally just come on board about a month or so ago, there's a huge focus on trying to innovate, a huge focus on trying to be more digitized, and of course, a huge focus on trying to completely reinvigorate the brand, but using technology, using innovation, disrupting things as we have it to try and take advantage of new business opportunities. So yeah, for us, it's been quite an exciting journey to be on.
Well, there seems to be a common theme between the two products or two brands that you mentioned this morning. It's there's a hunger and a new energy for both corporates and startups to look at digital, in a new light. And I'm also experiencing that brands are doing more, setting up teams. There's a culture shift. So for me, I'm seeing like a more positive traction towards digital maturity. And it is a journey. Unfortunately, it's not going to be done overnight, but it's good to see that there is momentum.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we from when we joined to now, there has been a significant increase in even just the digital portion of budget allocation. So when you think beginning of the year, businesses are usually planning for what their marketing expenditure will be, what their events will be, and those traditionally will be again very much physical, whether it's a physical event at a venue with mics, speakers, and so on and so on. On the marketing side, you'll talk about billboards, radio ads, placement in newspapers. Now it's very much shifting towards how can we host this event virtually? How can we use digital to execute a particular marketing campaign and try to get a bit better ROI? How can we be more nimble, more agile? Not put something out to market, then be unable to change it later, unable to monitor actually how many people saw this ad, how many people have engaged with this, how many people have actually got a positive brand sentiment, or how positive is our brand sentiment. So digital has essentially transformed quite a lot of what was traditional. For me particularly, we've seen, as I mentioned, quite a nice surge in sort of digital budget allocation away from the traditional side of things, more towards digital and virtual. You and I were speaking quite recently, and I mentioned that a lot of people say digital is the future, but it very much isn't. It is the current. It is the now. It's the present. Mm. And if you're not playing in a digital or virtual space, you are almost non-existent. So I guess why my teams are quite important, and this is the mantra that that I take to our CEO as well, is that my job is to try and ensure that our business is future fit and that we remain relevant. And that's around, you know, innovating, doing things differently, doing things in a more cost-effective way, moving away from paper-based transactions, for example, doing things completely automated, and making sure the API is involved so that you cut cost. You improve efficiency. If you look at on the Sunlum side, we've launched a platform called Smart Invest, which again is essentially an online robo-advice tool that I wouldn't say replaces your financial advisor, but again, it's geared very much towards a millennial audience, the kind of person like myself who doesn't want to sit in front of a financial advisor. I don't want to sit in front of anybody and give away my life secrets. I want to just do everything virtually because millennials, we think we know everything. So the platform was designed to empower people like myself to go online, play around, read articles, empower myself with regards to my investments. You know, what should I be looking at? What are the products out there? There's an entire content or blog section just for sort of research and, you know, just to learn a bit more about investments and markets globally. Then, of course, there's the entire online virtual robo-advice space where clients can purchase and can actually invest online without the need of speaking to someone face-to-face. So there's no large fees that you're paying a financial advisor. You do everything yourself. And again, the system guides you, holds your hand, helps you, educates you every single step of the way. And there's an artificial intelligence marketing automation system that I built on the back end of this of that particular platform as well. It's become one of the most innovative platforms that Sunlum actually has in the market currently, and it's being used as the benchmark for what the brand can do if a person actually dedicates enough resource and time and effort into being more innovative and a bit more digitized. And it's something that's now seeding into the rest of the business, whether it's Sunlum Personal Finance, Sunlum Corporate, Sunlum Reality. Everyone's now trying to do and trying to innovate a bit more, just simply because I guess the need for creating a digital platform that speaks to a particular audience is now more important than ever. So relying on the traditional way of doing things is fine for a particular segment. It's obviously a market segment that is maybe a bit more older, approaching retirement age, or one that has a lot more complex estate planning duties and so on, that obviously requires physical and, you know, proper advice from a financial advisor. But if you're wanting to simply put away money for your kids, or you want to put away money for a holiday, or you want to put away money for, you know, a new house or renovations and so on, there's no need for you to sit with an advisor if you can do the entire process again virtually. You know, if you're just putting away 500 rand a month, you're not really you know, blowing the lights up, but at least you're starting to save, you're starting to invest. And that's, I guess, what we try to do on the Smart Investor, is try to educate people with regards to the importance of investing, saving, and I guess being a platform that is, again, built, again, predominantly by millennials. It's a platform that's seen significant increase in terms of, you know, success rate and, of course, the return on investment. One of the biggest pluses, not that the R one should take positive out of this, but the impact of COVID-19 on business, whether it's a Get Law business, whether it's Sunlum, has been the increase in digital transformation that actually has taken place across the entire business, not just from, I guess, the internal corporate perspective, but also from a client side. We've seen a surge in online sales on the Sunlum side, particularly. Can't give exact specifics, but significantly more than, I guess, what we had year on year. What our best month was last year, for example. You know, anywhere between 30% to 60% growth in terms of online sales alone. And that's just the one part of the business. There's been, I guess, other success stories across the business where people, you know, are a lot more comfortable doing things online now. I mean, you're ordering your groceries to be delivered using the Checkers app or the Woolies app or the Pick and Pay app. You're ordering your food to be delivered using Uber Eats. I mean, now you're able to buy a Sunlum product or Sunlum investment product, again, completely virtually. And again, that has actually done reasonably well over the last 6 months at least.
Yeah. I mean, I've also read, I think it was yesterday, that COVID in the last 6 months have fast-tracked change that equated to 10 years worth of change happening. So in the 6 months, so we've seen like a change at the speed of light, if you want to say that. But I think what you're ideally saying is digital is disrupting business models. It needs to disrupt pricing structures. It's disrupting the way we go to market, how we produce, how we sell. Every facet of the business now is engaging in digital transformation. And ideally, I don't like to use the word digital transformation because the other scary insight I've read is that we shouldn't be talking digital transformation in 2020. We should be already transformed digitally. But some of us were slow to that, so it's quite positive to see that. So, Yaish, in closing, what advice would you give to brands out there, but also to startups in terms of how they can do things right or what they should consider in terms of this journey that they're embarking on?
Awesome. So, I guess two things. There's the that famous quote from Sun Tzu from The Art of War that said, "Know your enemy." So my current variation of that actually is to know your client, and that's really, really important. So rather than taking the internal systems or the internal business structures and complication that you have, and trying to apply it to your clients, understand them first. Understand who you're speaking to. Understand your product. Understand on the ground what people are looking for. Go through the life, walk in their shoes, actually understand exactly what your client wants, and build your digital model or your digital business accordingly. Don't do it the other way around. Don't try and take something and almost shoehorn it into a consumer model that is digital and hoping that it will stick. Someone asked me the other day, I'm looking to create and build what you call the side hustle, which it's quite a strange thing. And you asked me, what do I need to do? And again, this advice, I guess, is for startups as well. To build I won't say a successful startup, but to build a startup that has legs, you need two things. The one is you need proper motivation, and that can be monetary in certain cases, or it can be a personal. In my case, it was definitely personal. The second thing that you need is the passion for what you do. And in my case, my passion is digital. So I was able to take my personal motivation and actually apply my passion to it. And that's how GetLaw was formed. So very, very importantly, if you have a desire to build a startup, make sure that you have those two things, the correct motivation and, of course, a passion for what you do. Those two things combined. Again, if you don't make it a success, at least you enjoy the journey. You enjoy what you're doing. That's obviously most important to ensure that you actually have a business that has the legs to grow, to become a lot more prevalent in the market. So those are my two pieces of motivation. Ensure you have the right piece or the right motivation, and ensure that you have a passion for what you do.
Thanks, Yaish. I love that piece of advice. As a digital person myself, we have the passion, and the passion that drives and fuels all of this energy to do more and look at digital in a completely new lens. So thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best with GetLaw. Hopefully next year we'll have you back and you can tell us what progress you've made.
Fingers crossed. Thank you so much, Audis. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Really appreciate it. Take care. Bye.
We're excited. You're excited.
I really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and to keep some change in their pockets. Don't forget to subscribe. Follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.